Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wallings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wallings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio later, Brandon Drake. But right now, I got some special guests in studio with me. Phil Chen, who is the co-chair and outreach of Washtenaw County GOP. Phil?
Pleased to be here with you.
And Sam Collier, who is our chairman of campaigns for Washtenaw County GOP.
Great to be here.
And Adam DeAngeli, who is executive director of Concerned Taxpayers for Michigan.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay, so these guys are here today to educate us a little bit on Prop 5. Now, I don't think it's any surprise to the listeners of our show that I myself am against Prop 1 because I think it's just a big boondoggle and highly disappointed in the fact that it's even out there for us. But before we get into the meat of it, let me take care of my sponsor this half hour, Remax Classic, Marilyn Handloser. If you need to get a house bought or sold, call Marilyn Handloser. She's an associate broker. Cell phone, 248-231-4216. Or you can go to marilynhandloser.com. That's H-A-N-D-L-O-S-E-R.com. marilynhandloser.com. And her phone number again, 248-231-4216. So she knows the Lakes area very good. If you're looking for a house out in the water, out in Whitmore Lake, Hamburg, Brighton, she's the lady to get hold of. So there you go. All right, so gentlemen, Phil, I want to thank you for reaching out to me and bringing this to our attention because I've had calls from Jimmy and Tony and a few other guys, and they've been alluding to a lot of the problems with Proposition 1, and you and Sam stepped up to the plate. I've been asking people to bring in somebody who can really go through some of the nonsense that's in this bill, and you brought Adam to the table for us. So I want to thank you guys for us. And before we let Adam start digging into that, I guess I want to ask, and I think a lot of people may be surprised, here we have a ballot proposal put together by, let's remind everybody, we have a Republican House in Michigan, we have a Republican Senate in Michigan, we have a Republican governor, and yet they're putting something on the ballot that is the most massive tax hike we've seen in years anyways. What's going on that the GOP Washtenaw County, and you're not the only county GOP against this, but you guys are totally against this?
Yeah, we been looking at a lot of things. In fact, I have a friend who does a lot of research for me on these things because it takes time. And just we're putting a lot of money out for something, and we're, as Adam will go into, we're not even looking into where the money should come from as a leadership at the state level. As I like to tell people, it's a lot like GM management used to do. And remember, they failed miserably. You know, if we would only throw more money and more people at it, well, then we'd have got it done right. And that doesn't work.
Right, right.
You got to get rid of the fat before you start knowing what you have. And again, Adam can cover more of that end of it.
Yeah. So Sam, how does this affect campaigns coming up? I mean, what is on the mind of our representatives and state senators who, you know, would be looking to campaign in 2016, some of them? Why would they do this? What's going on that they would put a tax increase? We're the Republicans, for crying out loud.
I think it does put our candidates at a disadvantage. The Republican platform calls for smaller government, more efficient government, and tax increases only need to be justified when they're absolutely necessary. The Republicans in the Michigan State House passed the Bolger Amendment, or the Bolger Bill, back in the fall that would have provided money for road improvements and road maintenance without increasing taxes. but it failed in the Michigan Senate, which is Republican-controlled.
Okay, and let me ask you this, if my math is wrong. Do we need any Democratic support to pass anything in the House or Senate?
No.
Okay.
Except for to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot. That actually does require a two-thirds majority. So there was, in fact, some horse trading going on to get the proposal on the ballot. In fact, there was not only the some of the bills that are now part of the package. In other words, the legislature passed these 10 laws that each end by saying they will only take effect if the proposal is passed, the constitutional amendment is passed.
Okay, so we could have fixed this without doing a constitutional amendment, first off, right?
You could, although you wouldn't be able to raise the state sales tax to 7%.
Okay, but I think we all know there's probably enough fat in the budget. And there was money on the table from budget surplus, a year or two ago, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, one of the interesting things is that the money is already there. It's just a question of how they would prioritize spending. And what it's really a remarkable train wreck that happened at the end of the lame duck session last year, where somehow the House passed a plan that would have fixed the roads without raising any taxes. The Senate passed a plan to raise $1.2 billion in higher gas taxes. And somehow the compromise was to have the voters decide on a $2 billion tax increase on sales and also gas tax increases and other tax increases and a whole bunch of other stuff on top of that.
Okay, so that sounds to me like gutless cowardice from the Senate and the House. If at least the House put something together because they knew you don't have to raise more money. Was Randy Richardville still in charge when this went through?
He was the majority leader at the time.
All right, well, he is a gutless coward. He doesn't call this station. He won't respond to anybody because he knows he can't justify or defend any of the actions he's taken, and thank God he's going away. But let's break that down then. So most people know, or don't know, I think, Prop 1 is not just about fixing roads, right?
Right. It's amazing how, because I'm asked all the time to explain one aspect of the proposal or another, and I think that speaks to how absurd it is that the proposal is so complex that you need an expert just to understand what's in it. This proposal is, first of all, it's a constitutional amendment, but then there's these 10 laws that were passed that each end by saying they only take effect at the proposal to amend the state constitution to make some of those laws legal will go into effect. So on top of you have, of course, the sales tax increase to 7%, but you also have all kinds of other unrelated legislation, including things like affirmative action requirements in road construction projects. You have there's money for mass transit funding that's not mentioned in the ballot language at all. There's money for reading programs. There's money for local governments. It's a massive bill package. It's 46,000 words total. And it took us weeks just to dig through it all. In fact, there were some hidden consequences that it took experts to even unearth, such as, for example, one of the things they did was they changed it so that vehicle registration fees no longer depreciate with time. And the sponsor of the bill that did that actually admitted to the Detroit News that the leadership realized that what they were actually doing was changing the nature of federal tax liabilities in doing this, because now it was no longer a ad valorem tax based on the value of the vehicle. Now it's just an excise tax. So now Michigan taxpayers will be paying an additional $100 million to Uncle Sam, not even to Michigan, if this passes. And they admitted they did this because they thought it was going to be easier to convince voters to do. In other words, it's going to be better concealed. So okay. They've actually, at least one legislator is on the record saying that he and leadership understood they were misleading voters when they did this.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I'm looking at a flyer that you've got here, and the first year it's showing only 25% of this money is going to roads?
That's based off of Mackinac Center estimate, and I'm not entirely clear that that's the case. Our estimate is that in the first 3 years, about one half of the funding will go to roads. And the different groups have said different things about this. And the reason why this is so confusing is because on one hand, the proposal funds $1.2 billion for roads, but at the same time, it also replaces $340 million in the general funds transportation budget that's been since removed from it. So What you end up with is in a $2 billion tax increase, which works out to about $200 a year for every single man, woman, and child in Michigan, $800 a year for a family of four, that only half of that money is actually going to fix roads. And then, of course, raises the question, if fixing roads is so important, then why did they need to put all this other stuff into the bill to make it possible?
Well, exactly. Once again, we're getting screwed by elected officials who, instead of taking one little baby step and say, you know what, and I said this with Brandon and a couple other guests we've had before, I would pay more if I knew where it was going. But I don't, because once again, they're hiding it with the teachers union or the education fund. I don't want to pay for that. I want to pay for a road. Make one bill that I can understand how much extra it's going to cost me. It shouldn't cost me anything, because I think there's, like you guys said, I believe there's enough money in there's enough fat in the budget to fix this. But if you want me to pay more, I want to know where it's going.
Yeah, I think there's at least four ways that you can prove that this entire proposal is completely unnecessary. The first thing is to point out that our own state budget has gone up $4.7 billion in the last 4 years. That's $2.7 billion state money, $2 billion federal. So a $2 billion tax increase is only covering part of recent new spending. So obviously the problem is spending, not taxing. And the second thing is to point out the Bolger plan, which was passed last year, which would have funded the roads to the exact same amount that this proposal would have without raising any taxes. The third thing is that it's just completely absurd. You know, we pay among the highest taxes on gasoline right now for among the worst roads. We have a 6% sales tax, where some states have lower. We have a 4.25% income tax, where some states have none. So it just does not compute that we have to raise our taxes even higher to have roads that are safe. I mean, it's absurd.
Okay, so under Rhino Rick and a Republican Senate and a Republican House, we've been increasing spending, right? What's wrong with that picture? We didn't hire Republicans and elect Republicans to increase our taxes. Why didn't we just bring back Jennifer Granholm?
Well, it's the politicians' logic. They say that any increase that's less than what they wanted is considered a cut. So when they say we have $1 billion this year, we want $2 billion next year, if we only get $1.5 billion, we'll call that a cut. And that's what they're doing. They're saying that if we were to only increase spending for schools and only increase spending for local governments by a certain amount, as the Bolger plan would have done, it would have actually guaranteed increases in those budgets, then they consider that a cut. And that's just not right.
Yeah. So let me go back to you, Sam, real quick. The Democrats are obviously all for this because it's spending time. And the few voices in the Republican Party, like Pat Kolbeck and Bolger and Todd Corser, I think, that yes, have a little common sense to them. They're against it, but the rest of these Republicans are just jumping into bed with the Democrats, and I'm sure Gretchen Driscoll is obviously for this. And here's a woman running it as a Democrat, claiming to be fiscally responsible, and here she is doing it, and she wants to run for Wahlberg's position, the 7th district. You know, we don't need any more tax and spend liberals. So when 2016 rolls around, what are our candidates? Once again, I'm just shocked. Who our Washtenaw candidate will be? Gretchen Driscoll's going away. Do we know yet? Has a Republican actually stepped up for that?
No, we don't have a candidate yet to run against Gretchen, but we are looking at candidates right now. There are some that have expressed an interest.
Okay. Well, let's
the
hope.
One thing I will mention, though, is there still are a lot of Republicans in the Michigan legislature that are opposed to this and want smaller government, more responsible government. It isn't every Republican there. And I do want to make a point that Patrick Kolbeck and people like that are really doing a great job trying to keep our government under control and to solve the root cause of our road problems. Rather than just jump the cause and say we don't have enough money, they're trying to really look at how we can get our roads back in shape, better lifespan construction, more efficient construction contracts, and other more efficient ways of improving our road system.
Yeah, it seems like, once again, the special interests are jumping into it. Yep. Number one, let's get rid of prevailing wage.
Yes.
You know, if you want to get more competition and a better pricing for the money we're spending for roads. Get rid of prevailing wage. Let some of these companies that can actually get in without their unions and pay that federal prevailing wage bid on a job. It's crazy that we keep spending more money than we actually have to. And the quality of the work is not better. I'm sorry, it's not, with these prevailing wage union outfits.
I was a construction manager in my for about 20 years, a project manager for a major paper company. And we went out on competitive bidding wherever we could. And we went to really the best contractor available, whether they be union or non-union. It was on the basis of price and the quality of their bid, not whether they were union or non-union or whatever. Prevailing wage should be struck down.
Okay. So, Phil, you were going to say something.
Well, there are a couple issues, and one to address what Sam was just talking about. When you're going to bring somebody in, if you want to control your future as in your job, if that's what you see being a legislature as a job, then you need to control the constituency that can help you and the financing that can get you elected. That is not to imply, because I wouldn't imply, that any of these people are doing that, but you don't get elected by being, you don't get promoted by being a whistleblower, an outsider, a pot stirrer. You get promoted, you keep your job by going along to get along.
Yeah. Well, you know, in 2010, I ran for state senate, right? And what an eye-opening experience it was, because all of a sudden I had stuff coming in the mail from every special interest group, union, or association, asking me to fill out a survey. And, of course, I answered them honestly. And each one, nobody gave me any money, obviously, because I stuck my finger in their eye and said, I'm not interested in your special interest union or your special interest road association or anybody else. I was honest, and I didn't get a dime or an endorsement from anybody, and I didn't want it because, you know what, I didn't want to go to Lansing to get money and get reelected. I wanted to go, God help anyone ever sends me to Congress or Lansing or anything else. I'll be there. I'll be the worst nightmare because I'm going to be out there spouting. And you can take your committee chairs and everything else and stick it right up your you know where. Because you know what? I'd have the media sitting in my office every day. That's what I would do.
That's the same kind of thing that went on again in industry. If you want to get somewhere, then you've got to play whatever game the powers that be, or if you will, the establishment, wants you to play. I realize now I'm starting to sound like maybe I'm Tea Party or Libertarian.
Oh, God forbid. Get them out of the studio.
Well, if you want money to get elected, you've got to play the game.
Yeah, that's what they say. Let's take a call from Todd, who's got a question for you guys. Todd, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. I was wondering, you know, with what's going on, what's to stop Governor Snyder from being a crybaby and being a brat and going around everybody to get his way like he did with this bridge project and a few other things, you know, because he's going to try to stick it to us again. And just remember, you don't have to go along to get along. If you do the right thing, the rest will follow. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
Well, I think this proposal has now become an increasingly high-stakes power play between the grassroots Republicans, conservatives, and certain other members of the establishment. And I think what happens on May 5th is going to be a major indicator of what happens moving forward. I mean, if they pass this, that just goes to show that they can get away. I mean, this is a pretty audacious move to ask the taxpayers to sign off on what is – to ask them to take part in what we despise most about politicians, these, you know, last-minute deals with massive bills with all kinds of goodies in them that you got to pass to find out what's in them. So if the voters condone that, then I think we're going to be in real bad shape for the next 2 years. Also, I think it's going to be a bad situation for Republicans in 2016. So I would submit that Republicans, including members of the legislature, should want to be on the right side of history on this. And abandon ship on this proposal because it's just so bad on so many levels, as not just as a massive tax increase and all these other bad policies, but from a political angle, it's just so absurd to say that this legislature is so irresponsible that we have no better way of fixing our roads than ask the taxpayers to do what we can't do ourselves. So I think we are in a situation right now where we need to get as many boots on the ground as possible out on May 5th to defeat this proposal. And at MichiganTaxpayers.com, we're giving people the tools and the training to do so.
Yeah. I'm hoping that everybody I've talked to is against this. And I'm talking even some liberal people. They are totally against this proposal. So I'm seeing very little support. And this is going to be a resounding failure on Rick Snyder and the GOP in Lansing, because you know what? You're not listening. Here you got two big guys at Washtenaw County GOP, and it's not just your county, it's other counties. Guys, yep. Got to guess yep. How many other counties are kind of against this?
I mean, I know Gratiot County passed a resolution. I've been working with some district committees now on resolutions, which I think is important. I salute the county GOP here in Washtenaw County for doing this. You know, the Republican Party platform specifically states we oppose tax increases. We oppose tax increases for wealth redistribution. We oppose them for wasteful programs. This proposal's got all of that in there. So okay. We appreciate them taking that principled stance.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get one more call in here before the break. Pat wants, he's got a comment about the road and a question. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, you know what, guys? You know what upsets me is when I hear you got to go along to get along. You know, if you got to sell your soul to go into Washington, once you lay down with a prostitute, you're always a prostitute. I got that little piece of wisdom from my legal immigrant grandfather. And you can't do it. You can't compromise. If you got to go there to compromise, then get out.
Yeah.
Preach it.
Yep. Go ahead, Phil.
You know, if you got to go along to get along to get elected, but when you go into the legislature, if you believe you work for the people, then you don't go in there to make it a career. You don't go in there to make it a job. But if you're going in to make it a job, if you're going in because you want to be a career politician with all the goodies that go along with it, then you end up having to play with the establishment. And as you point out, if you lay down with a prostitute, it reminds me of the story of where a young woman was asked how much, and she said, well, that's not enough. And he said, okay, now that we know what you are, let's negotiate price.
Well, there you go. All right, yeah, you lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. Good comments. Pat, anything else? I think he's gone already. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to add before the break, one more time, one more plug for MichiganTaxpayers.com. We have flyers. Starting Monday, we will actually have lists available for volunteers of the likeliest voters in your own neighborhood, the ones that never miss an election. So please visit MichiganTaxpayers.com, sign up for email alerts, and we will keep in touch as this thing moves between now and May 5th. We've got a lot to do in very little time. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in, you guys. We're going to bring you back before the election because we're going to hit this hard. And I want to ask the listeners at home, you know what? Get out your Facebook, your social media. Go to Todd Corser's website, Facebook page, whatever. Pat Kolbeck's Facebook page and website. And there's all kinds of information there. Post it, share it, like it. Do whatever you got to do. This is on each and every one of us.
You guys have an event this weekend, next weekend, right?
We have an event next weekend. It's March 21st at noon at the NCMS Center or building at 3025 Boardwalk, where we'll have free pizza and pop, and Patrick Kolbeck will be there to explain this legislation and why it's so bad and what the alternatives are.
And Gary, after that event, Sam and I are going to bring Pat over here to you for
okay.
Your
2 awesome.
O'clock start.
Awesome. That'd be great, great. And like I said, this is incumbent on us. Incumbent on us as listeners, as voters, you can't just vote on Election Day. You need to get out and champion the cause because they're sticking it to us once again. This isn't just a 1% sales tax that's going to fix the roads. It's 50 to 75% going to other special interests, going to other programs. Pay attention. That ballot language, Adam, is just not clear, is it?
The most interesting thing about it is it's not even necessarily true. Because the legislature could act today or tomorrow to repeal any of those 10 laws that at least the ones of them that are mentioned on the ballot, and then the ballot language wouldn't even necessarily be true anymore.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, great, you guys. Appreciate the information, and we'll have you back next week, obviously. All right. Thanks, you guys. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Thank you.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. In the weekly Republican radio address, Indiana Republican Congresswoman Susan Brooks calling for former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to give up her email server.
We are asking Secretary Clinton to turn her server over to a neutral third-party arbiter. After a complete inventory, this arbiter can make a determination as to which emails should be public and which should remain private.
Brooks saying Clinton turning over the server would help a select congressional committee find out more about the 2012 terrorist attack on the consulate in Benghazi, Libya, leaving four staffers dead. Meanwhile, State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki saying the department not automatically archiving emails sent to a .gov email address. This contrary to what Clinton says during her news conference. Psaki responding to a reporter's question at a State Department briefing.
I think the question is automatically it's starting to happen. It wasn't the case or wasn't the policy previously. It makes it certainly much easier for employees for it to be automatically archived. And I think it's safe to assume some assumed that that was what was happening at the time as well.
Psaki saying before February, senior workers at the State Department and other agencies responsible for flagging their own records for preservation. An inspector general report showing staffers not doing this in many cases. The manhunt continuing in Ferguson, Missouri. The Blaze Radio's Brad James reports.
I cannot tell you at this point that an arrest is imminent. There's certainly nobody in custody.
That's St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar. Belmar saying detectives are working around the clock to find the suspects responsible for the shooting of the two cops in Ferguson. The chief saying lots of leads, but there isn't much in the way of eyewitness accounts.
There aren't a lot of people, I think, that really saw, at least at this point, that we've been able to identify exactly what happened, and we're just trying to put a name to a face.
Weather is a little sketchy in Ferguson. Cops hoping that may calm more protests.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
You're invited to Habitat for Humanity of Huron Valley's Bid to Build annual auction and celebration Friday, May 15th from 6 to 9 p.m. It'll be at the University of Michigan North Campus Research Complex, 2800 Plymouth Road, building number 18 in Ann Arbor. It'll be the biggest fundraiser event of the year. There will be delicious food and drinks and auctioning of hundreds of items from local businesses, eateries, and artists, and celebrate the past year of work building homes, communities, and hope. Tickets are $60 per person, $350 for a table of six, and $600 for a team of 12. To learn more, visit h4h.org/bid-to-build or call 734-677-1558. Starting Tuesday, March 17th, older adults that are homebound in Milan, Augusta, and York Townships will now have improved access to home-delivered meals due to an expanded partnership between Washtenaw County's Office of Community and Economic Development, Milan Seniors for Healthy Living, and Aid in Milan. In 2014, 160,000 meals were delivered to homebound seniors through the program in Washtenaw County. In 2015, the program has a goal of delivering 178,500 meals to seniors. For more information about the Senior Nutrition Program, call 734-544-2977 or visit ewashtenaw.org/senior-nutrition. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600.
I remember landing under sniper fire. There was supposed to be some kind of a greeting ceremony at the airport, but instead we just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles to get to our base.
There was this 8-year-old girl, so I greeted her, I took her stuff, and I left.
What difference at this point does it make?
It completely misses the point. All this self-serving.
With all due respect.
It takes a village.
More people are going to wonder whether she's ready to tell the truth.
That has been tried. That has failed.
Come on, quit wasting time.
It takes a village to hide a server, doesn't it? Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, can you guess who the male or the first male voice is in that little montage I put together?
It's on the tip of my tongue. I was thinking about it earlier when I heard it, but it's slipping in my mind.
It sounds like Rush, but it's not.
It's
I think you've got it. You're just on the tip of
MSNBC,
your tongue.
Right?
No. Well, no?
It's not, for crying out. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I just can't quite get it out.
It's Penn from Penn and Teller.
Ah, okay. No, then it wasn't. I was way off base.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, way off
base. I had to slice and dice because he was dropping the F-bomb about every maybe 15 seconds
on his
rant
about
her.
Right.
Well, you can, but it may be
our last
short-lived.
Show. Yeah, it'd be our last show without a doubt. So, Derek, thank you so much for we had guys just in from Washtenaw County GOP and Adam DeAngelis. So, informative, and I want to remind everybody, please get out and campaign, actively campaign against Prop 1. Don't let Rick Snyder and the Lansing GOP pull the wool over your eyes this year. So let's take care of some business real quick here. Our sponsor this half hour will be Country Water Treatment. On 10 Mile Road in Green Oak Township, Country Water Treatment has some wonderful coupons in the current this month. You can save $100 with the purchase of any water softener. You can get potassium chloride delivered for $3 off a 40-pound bag. You can get $5 off any 6 bags of DuraCube. And 1 year free of DuraCube salt with the purchase of a water softener. You can call them at 248-437-9136. That's 248-437-9136. And they're located again on 10 Mile Road, 13658 10 Mile Road in Green Oak Township. So great place to get water softeners. I mean, they do a good job. They install it. They're fast. They're friendly. They're efficient. Good place. So, all right. So the big news this week, really. Still continuing, Hillary in her emails. Did you actually watch her press conference on this?
I haven't.
Okay.
I can't stand, I can't stomach it.
Yeah, the first thing that bothered me was, why are you doing that to the UN? What are you looking for a little backup from the UN? You can't do it in your own place. You got to do it at the United Nations, looking for a little backup from these people? I mean, I think the first question went to a Turkish reporter who asked, honestly, you're going to ask a Turkish reporter about the emails. His first question was, do you think this would happen if you weren't a woman?
Did he say to her, hashish? Oh, hashish!
And she said, yes, yeah. Yes.
Remember Midnight Express?
Do I?
That was a great movie. Anyway, sorry.
All right. Well, you know, even the liberals, you know, are starting to bang on her. John Stewart had a great point with her, and he filleted her. And I'm beginning to see the cracks, you know. And well, not that kind of. Why do you do that to me?
I'm just sitting here being nice.
Let's do that first clip, Derek. This is John Stewart bagging on Hillary, and this is just one of the excuses she used, and he's bagging on it. So let's hear this real quick.
Clinton said that after she went and organized her emails determining which ones were official business to be sent over to the State Department and which ones were personal, that she deleted about 30,000 emails that she determined to be purely personal.
So that's what she was doing.
What the f***?
I didn't see any reason to keep them.
And welcome back. You just told us you didn't follow the rules because having two separate email addresses would be way too big a pain in the ass. But you know what is a far bigger pain in the ass? Trying to delete 30,000 emails.
And it doesn't get any simpler than that. Really? I clean out my email box occasionally. And it is a pain in the butt. It really is.
And it begs the question, while she's supposedly on the job, how much time is she spending on personal business?
Yes. Yes, there's another one. 30,000 emails. And why are you deleting? Somebody else said this on one of the other shows. Why are you deleting all those personal emails? She said, if they're from my husband, which obviously they're not because Bill caught her up in that lie. I've never emailed in my life, he said. But emails about her working on her daughter's wedding and stuff like, oh, really? Why would you just destroy those? Aren't those kind of cool? I'm not a chick, but I assume most women have some kind of emotional response and don't want to throw stuff like that away, right?
Well, here's the thing, too. About 29,000 of those 30,000 personal emails really were from Bill and Hillary going back and forth, mainly from Bill saying, you know, can we finally take care of the cankles? We got the money now.
That's just downright cruel.
It, well, that's what I'm about. It, yeah. And then, you know, he's like, you know, he's probably saying, too, about, can we mix up the pantsuits a little bit?
Just a little. I like a woman in pantsuits. It's professional. Aesthetically clean. Well, kind of. All right. Well, anyways, let's fact check Clinton in her emails a little bit. There was a nice piece put out, and I forgot to put the author down, so forgive me if the author hears this and doesn't. Clinton and her emails. Let's fact check. Her one excuse was others had done it. Well, the fact is, although email practices varied among her predecessors, Clinton is the only Secretary of State known to have conducted all official, unclassified government business on a private email address, which begs to ask the question, how did you handle classified information? If you didn't process it through your email and your BlackBerry, are you telling me she did nothing? She didn't look at any classified documents in all the years that she was Secretary of State. If you didn't look at them through your email, how did you get them? You're on a plane, you're traveling, all the traveling she did, really, was Sir Pony Express following around with paper trail documents?
Maybe she handled classified information like Sandy Berger and put it down her pants. There's no coming back from, I mean, that would be secure forever.
Oh, did we just go there?
I did. Hey, what's good for Berger is good for...
Oh, no, let's not even go with Berger, shall we? I fully complied with every rule I was governed by. Well, the facts, at the very least, Clinton appears to have violated what the White House has called very specific guidance that officials should use government email to conduct business. Clinton provided no details about whether she had initially consulted with the department or other government officials before using the private email system. So, once again, and we talked about this last week, she told employees of the State Department, you're going to be in trouble if you don't use government email.
Well, see, she's a Clinton. Do what I say, people, not what I do.
Yeah. One set of rules for me, but the rest you got to live under a different set of rules.
And Bill has a whole other set of rules, but that's another show.
Well, that's why he'd be, if I could pick a president to have lunch or dinner with, you know who it's going to be. I'm going with Bill Clinton, baby. Yeah. I'm going to have fun. You know what I mean?
And like I think I've said this on the show before, too. If Boris Yeltsin was still alive, I'd love to have partied with him and Bill Clinton together. Can you imagine that?
Yes. What a party. Boy, I could feel the hangover right now. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Boris Yeltsin. That's crazy. All right, here's another one. Clinton says, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Well, that begs to what we talked about.
And you know, who are we to even maybe think about a Clinton lying or not telling the whole truth? I mean, how dare us?
Yes. Well, you know, and I did not email any classified material. Did you get any email that was classified? You know what I mean? Again, it's how are they going to define it? Right?
It's mind-boggling.
Yes, I'm really ticked off about this, and I don't want this to go away. I want this to stay out there.
And what if a Republican had done this?
Oh, it'd be done. It'd be all over. If George Bush had done this, it'd be all over. Or Condoleezza Rice, or anyone else.
John Bolton
would be. It'd be crazy. They'd be out of there. Was there another one on here? It had numerous safeguards. Her talking about her server. It was properly guarded by the Secret Service, and there were no security breaches. Well, how do we know that?
It's all based on her word, all of this.
Yes. And why are we to take that Hillary Clinton's word is worth anything? Oh, that's right. She was so honest about Whitewater.
It's literally the cackling hen guarding the hen house.
Yeah. What bothers me now, though, too, is when you get people defending her on Benghazi, look, there was a report. They didn't find anything in Benghazi. Well, of course not. They didn't have any emails from Hillary Clinton. How would you know? How are you going to have an honest report if you haven't seen any emails from the Secretary of State?
Her and Lois Lerner. They're probably BFFs. Lois Lerner. Now, this is how you do it, Hillary.
This is how you do it, baby. Derek, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to move from Hillary's. We're not leaving Hillary behind, but we're going to move into a little bit about Iran and the letter the GOP sent. We'll see you on the other side.
Don't miss Theron Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with the Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Oh, we're having some kind of fun down here with only the finest ingredients to be had in weak, singeing rock, hip shaking soul music, and industrial strength rhythm and blues.
From 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie.
Tooling around the streets of Tree Town.
At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots music with Radio John D. and the Greasy Skillet.
Thanks for tuning in, and I do hope you're checking us out on Facebook.
Then, Dan Martin brings you the best music of the UK on London Calling from 10 to midnight.
The UK number one hit, Message in a Bottle. This is The Police.
I hope that someone gets my message in a bottle.
Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go.
Here's another rock and set kicked off with a track from the VLV Weekender soundtrack.
It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. on the musical side of Wham!
Winter is a great time to work on your home improvement projects, and if you're looking for quality painting, look no further than JB Quality Painting in Saline. Owner John McCullough has been offering Ann Arbor and Saline residents great service for 23 years. They do custom interior repainting as well as new construction. They also do drywall and staining. JD Quality Painting Company uses all their own painters, not subs, so you're assured a great, high-quality job for any project you're doing. Ask John about their Painter for the Day program for all of your small and touch-up jobs as well. Winter pricing on interior projects is now available. Call 734-429-0084 and ask for John. That's 734-429-0084 or visit jdqualitypainting.com. That's jdqualitypainting.com.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Okay, and welcome back to the Drift. And if you're lost, you should have been going to the Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, and catching up on the news of the week. I put it on there every day for you. It's not the mainstream media news. It's the news you need to know. And you can email me, Gary at the Daily Drift, if you want to pass a comment on to Drake and I. And I can read it on the air if you want, if you're too shy to call in, but you are welcome to call in.
So, I just wanted to say, too, a behind-the-scenes caller just a few minutes ago, thank you, Tina.
Green Tea Tina. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. So the other big story this week was people were trying to give the GOP senators who sent, the 47 GOP senators who sent a letter to Iran. And correct me if I'm wrong, too. I mean, all this time I thought Obama and crew were trying to wrangle a deal to stop, allegedly delay or stop Iran from getting the bomb. There's some negotiations going on. So I assumed that it was a deal that would come back to the country. The Senate would either ixnay it or say, yes, we support it and pass it. Then it becomes a binding agreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the senators, the GOP senators, wanted to bring Iranian ayatollahs and the leadership there up to speed, saying, hey, any deal that Obama's making with you, unless it's approved by us, is no deal at all.
Right. That's our system. That's our law.
That's our system. That is the law. That's the Constitution. It's the way it works, right? And so they start giving the GOP a little lesson. Let's get caught up. You got that next track with Tom Cotton. Tom Cotton was kind of the leader, Senator Tom Cotton, who's a veteran, by the way. And he was on, I think it was Morning Joe. And listen to this smarmy woman. I don't even know her name. I was going to look it up, but I thought, what's the point? Go ahead and run that, Derek.
Senator, if I could just ask you what you think of Vice President Biden's statement on this letter, in part where he says that this was expressly designed to undercut a sitting president in the midst of a sensitive international negotiation, and that it's beneath the dignity of an institution he reveres. I don't know about traitor, but aren't you guys tampering with an international negotiation? Isn't this undermining the president and the process? And wasn't that the point here?
No, we're making sure that Iran's leaders understand that if Congress doesn't approve a deal, Congress won't accept a deal, because we're committing to stopping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Joe Biden, as Barack Obama's own Secretary of Defense has said, has been wrong about nearly every major foreign policy and national security decision in the last 40 years. Moreover, if Joe Biden so respects the dignity of the institution of the Senate, he should be insisting that the president submit any deal to approval of the Senate, which is exactly what he did on numerous deals during his time in the Senate.
Do you really think it was appropriate to end run the president and the process and send a letter directly to Iran? Think about those words. Do you really think that was appropriate?
Yes, this is about stopping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. And Iran's leaders need to understand that any deal that gives them a path to a bomb today, tomorrow, 10 years, 15 years from now, will not be accepted by the United States Congress.
Okay. Smarmy, my first comment. I hate that lady.
Yeah, absolutely. She has an agenda.
She has a definite agenda.
And end run and undermining and all that? No, yeah. No. A player like Iran, I mean, excuse us for questioning whether Iran understands how a democratic system works, right?
Right.
But a player like Iran, who is so hell-bent on getting a nuclear weapon and doing everything they can to, you know, cheat and retreat and stall and do everything behind the scenes in line, they need to know, maybe from an institution like the Senate, here's reality.
Yeah.
We're not going to just sign off on some crappy bill that allows you to continue to do what you're doing.
Yeah. And how short are the memories of these Democrats? Because Dan Calabresi had a Detroit News article, and he wanted to remind us all. Back in 2002, then-Congressman David Bonnier, Michigan congressman, Michigan. Former Michigan congressman, the Mount Clemens Democrat, traveled to Iraq. Didn't just write a letter. He traveled to Iraq to meet with Saddam Hussein while George W. Bush was working to bring Hussein into compliance with the terms of the Gulf War ceasefire and threatening an invasion if he didn't, which, of course, he didn't. So where's it? That's even worse, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that literally flew there and dealt with evil incarnate Saddam Hussein, and you're saying, oh, these 47 senators are traitors. That lady's an idiot. To be making that kind of a statement.
You know, not only politicians did that much worse, but like celebrities, Sean Penn over there driving around and making headlines with his antics. There's one thing I want to interject on. I read a book just before the 2003 invasion of Iraq. It was called Saddam, King of Terror, and I believe the author is Con Coughlin. He's a British journalist.
We've talked about it before.
And this part of the book that I wanted to bring up is shortly before the founder of the current Islamic Republic of Iran, the Ayatollah Khomeini, everybody knows that name, he wrote a letter or letters, I can't remember if it was more than one letter, telling his inner circle, because he knew he wasn't going to live forever, and he told them, at all costs, pursue a nuclear weapon. And, of course, the Islamic State looks at their founder, Ayatollah Khomeini, with such reverence and all the religious reasons, too, that even some of those that may, quote, feel that a nuclear weapon is un-Islamic, because there are some schools of thought, I remember from the book, but Khomeini changed all that, saying, no, it's not un-Islamic, pursue it at all costs. They look at him as almost like a god. they are going to follow that dictate from the Ayatollah Khomeini at all costs, because they look at it like they want to do it because he said it, but also we have no choice. This is
a dictate
from the grand Ayatollah that founded our country. Yeah. And if we don't follow through with what he has instructed us to do, then we are traitors ourselves.
Yeah. And
most people don't realize that the Ayatollah Khomeini basically ordered his successors to pursue a nuclear weapon and how serious they take that.
Yeah. And I guess this letter coming out kind of points things out, because I want to get to this real quick. Derek, let's go to the last track, which is John Kerry. This little montage of him talking to Congress and complaining about the letter. Let's see if we can get that in.
My reaction to the letter was utter disbelief. During my 29 years here in the Senate, I never heard of nor even heard of it being proposed anything comparable to this.
Except David Bonner.
If I had, I can guarantee you, no matter what the issue, no matter who was president, I would have certainly rejected it. We've been clear from the beginning. We're not negotiating a, quote, legally binding plan. We're negotiating a plan that will have in it a capacity for enforcement. We don't even have diplomatic relations with Iran right now. And the senator's letter erroneously asserts that this is a legally binding plan. It's not. That's number one. Number two, it's incorrect when it says that Congress could actually modify the terms of an agreement at any time. That's flat wrong. They don't have the right to modify an agreement reached executive to executive between leaders of a country.
Okay, so if it's not a legally binding contract, what good is it? What are you doing, you idiot? What are you negotiating? Because you know what? Let's be honest. Iran is not going to live up to any obligations under any contract, legally binding or otherwise. The guy's a complete buffoon. He's the biggest clown on the planet.
And who's to take John Kerry serious? He's Mr. I voted for it just before I voted against it. And you remember when he was debating George Bush? I think this was the 2004 presidential election. He's debating George Bush, and he was asked about his position on abortion. And John Kerry gave this answer that was so convoluted and so trying to gain favor from both sides that when he finished George Bush, it was his greatest response, in my opinion, during all the debates. He looked at the audience and said, "Does anybody understand that? Because I don't."
He came out and said,
"I'm for a culture of life. I'm against abortion. That's my position." You know? Anyway, so John Kerry is a moron.
Yeah, that, and he looks like Fred Gwynne.
Yeah. Well,
that's those an three insult purple to Fred
hearts,
Gwynne.
There's a lot of speculation on those three purple hearts, how valid those really are, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, until next week, do your part at home and contact your state representatives and senators and tell them you're displeased, and then actively campaign against Prop 1. In the meantime, go to the www.thedailydrift.com. We'll see you next week.
See ya.